Welcome to the Speak Your Success Podcast.
What's going on, successors, and welcome to the Speak Your Success Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Jones, and today we have a special guest on this episode. This is episode like 213. I think this episode like 213. Okay. Yeah, episode 213. We're out here in Houston, Texas. One time for the one time. I'm sure many of y'all have heard me talk. I think I've talked about you on a few of the episodes at least.
It's been some talking.
Yeah, I think there's a few episodes. before we had one of one of our fellow teammates actually by the name of Tony Bishop. Yeah. I'll have the link for his episode down in the show notes. Don't remember what episode that was. But on this episode, I got my brother on here. My brother, Chibuzo Ilanu.
Hey, yes,
man. Yes, man, just want to talk a little bit about Buzo and just want to take time and sit down with him. Because Buzo's been a loyal listener of the podcast. But, man, even outside of that, me and Buzo, we've grown together from, like, legit from boys to men. And now,
but we don't sing.
We don't sing. For sure. I might sing in the shower, but that's neither here nor there. But man, so without further ado, let's welcome in Buzo Ilanu to the Speak Your Success Podcast.
Hey man, thank you. I appreciate you for having me. Yeah, man. It's a big honor. I really, really appreciate it. I do.
Yeah. So for people who don't know you, except from what I've said, like tell us just like in a snapshot, a little bit about you. What do you do? And okay. Yeah, like what tickles your fancy?
A lot of things tickle my fancy, but just in a quick snapshot, I'm a Nigerian born. I'm a Nigerian-American born citizen. I was raised here in Houston, but I like to say that, you know, I've also been raised in Dallas when I spent time in Dallas. I like to say that I was also raised in Oklahoma, Durant, Oklahoma, when I went to school out there, you know, because I spent some time out there, followed by a few other countries that I've been to here and there when I've done that. Right now I am a teacher. I teach third grade math, science, and social studies. And yeah. I do believe that the Lord placed me where he placed me for a reason.
Well, okay. Let's go right in there. How did you come to the idea of deciding that you wanted to teach? Because I know before, you know, you were hooping overseas, living that life in Australia and
a few other places, yeah. I did a little bit of in Mexico. I did some Nicaragua, which was really cool. That was a good experience. We got to connect on that, but that's on a different time. But getting into teaching was an experience for sure.
Okay.
And I will never forget me saying this. I was telling everybody, I refused. I'll never teach. I'll never coach. And you know what they say? This saying that if you want to make God laugh,
yeah,
you know, tell him your plans. Yeah, yeah. So, man, he must have been laughing at me. Because I'm telling you, I was telling everybody, no, I'll never go into the classroom. More so because of me.
Mm-hmm.
I was terrible. Jay, I was terrible.
Okay.
Terrible. Shout out to my brother. He was also terrible. And it's crazy because, you know, the first thing teachers ask you was, what are you doing at home? Like, is there anything going on at home?
Mm.
And I can never forget this. I had both of my parents. I have both of my parents.
Mm-hmm.
They were firm believers in spare the rod, spoil the child. So they definitely did not spare that rod. They didn't spare that thing at all. So it's crazy because I had both of them. They were very supportive of everything we did when we were young, mm-hmm. as we grew older. So I'm not sure why I acted out when I acted out and how I did. So, but with that knowledge, I was like, man, I can't deal with kids, especially if they're going to be anything like me. Like, man, that's karma coming back to get me. I was wrong. I have had some kids who are similar to me,
uh-huh.
but because I can see me in them,
Wow.
It allows me to have that patience. But the way I really did get into it, to touch on your earlier point, was I was playing basketball and I was youngish, you know, 21, 22. I thought ball was life. And for those who ball is life, I'm not telling you no, that's not the way it works. I'm just saying that it's not everybody's path. For me, it was a great way to see the world. All right? I'm not a huge fan of traveling per se, but people watching is amazing. And to do it anywhere is, that was pretty cool. And I say this and people think, man, that's weird. But injury was the best thing that could have happened to me.
Dang. Yeah, a lot of people. And okay, I think that's an episode. I don't remember what episode it was, but I think I probably was talking something along the lines about me complaining or about perspective. And talking about, I don't even know if you remember this, but when we were at Richland, because me and Buzo hooped on the team, Richland National Championships 2009,
yeah.
We hung a banner.
Yeah.
And we were on the road trips, and I didn't really have the appreciation for the food that we were getting, for those meals getting paid for us starting the season, and then we get four shirts, we get socks, we get a sweatsuit, and then we would get like one or two pair of shoes. And then one time I was eating and I was like, what is this? Like, this isn't enough, or I didn't even want this. And then you were like, why are you even complaining about this food? That didn't even make any sense. Like, just eat the food. Just shut up and eat the food. So I think that was one of the things that you really helped me realize at a young age. Probably like, it was like 18. Well, yeah, I was probably like 19, 20. You probably like
we
18,
were still
19.
Young, yeah.
It was right around that time. But so talk about that. Like, you're saying the fact about, like, this is one of the best things that happened to you was your injury. But talk about, like, having that level of perspective.
So the thing is, like I told you, I'm Nigerian. Our parents didn't play no games. They raised us to believe we were poor. All right. I don't know if that's gonna hit everybody differently, but and all Nigerians can attest to this, followed by just people in general. I think this is, it's not just a Nigerian based thing, but I think it's also like a foreigner based thing. Or regardless, I think parents, just the way they are. If we pass by McDonald's, I kid you not, hey mommy, daddy, can we have some McDonald's?
Yeah.
There's rice at home. What? Like, I know Twitter has done some things where they're like, hey, they got the memes out there. Those are real life stories. Please don't believe that people are making these things up. Like, our parents would legit drive us past restaurants and there's five of us. We're all in the back like, hey, mom, dad, McDonald's. Mm-mm, there's rice. Okay, that's cool. So growing up that way, like, it would make it seem like McDonald's isn't on the menu. We made rice, like, we're going to have to eat this rice. And then he would always remind us that there are students and children and parents and just those less fortunate than us who don't even have the opportunity to go to McDonald's or have rice at home. So that really resonated with us. A big thing and misconception is that Africa is poor and things like that. So they would remind us that it's not just Africa that has children who don't have meals. You know, that's stuff you can see here in the United States. So whenever we saw that, it struck a chord, especially when it comes to free. If I'm not paying for it, it's for me. So that really helped me open my eyes as to perspective on that matter. So because of that, it also led to me seeing things differently in different lights. And with the injury, just like any athlete, you know, I really believed ball was life. I thought that was the way it was going to go. My brother was a successful basketball player overseas, followed by my sister. So, you know, I thought, why not me? But that wasn't the Lord's plan for me. I did go through a down period where I questioned him. And if we're being honest, is this okay to be honest?
Hey, safe space.
I questioned him. I was like, man, what is this? Like, I see what you're doing for others. You know, what about me? And he told me, no, that's what I'm doing for others. What I'm doing for you is coming. And lo and behold, I began to coach for a school out here in Houston. When I say I loved it.
Yeah.
man, loved it. And these little kids were, you could tell they had the passion. Like, basketball wasn't their main thing, but sports were. Mm. So I just used that tool to introduce to them that basketball is forever. It is. But you can be, that could be taken away.
Yeah.
Tomorrow you can, I'm not trying to scare them, but tomorrow, you know, you could twist an ankle.
That's real life.
But education is forever. Now, it may not be, you know, a master's degree or a PhD.
Mm-hmm.
Read a book.
Yeah.
Get you some knowledge on how to sell real estate. Learn a trade. You know what I mean? Like, those things, like, once your mind is educated, your body will follow. So if sports are not the...
that's good.
If sports are not the go, that's fine. But just, you know that this, that, and the other. So once I got into coaching, man, I was like, wow. Like, dang, these kids... okay. Dang, they, yeah, they were bad. Let's not get it twisted. Them kids were not bad, like B-A-D. I don't mean that in a derogatory sense, but just in the comical sense. You know, but the thing I learned about kids are, is that they don't know any better.
Mm.
So a lot of times when they act out, it's not because they're trying to be disrespectful. It's because they haven't been taught how to deal with their emotions.
That's good.
I'm going on 30. Really going on 40. Technically, you know, we all age. I'm getting up there in age. And I myself have time struggling with my own emotions in certain situations.
Talk to us, man.
So with that understanding, how am I expecting an 8, 9, 10-year-old who hasn't even really seen life, who doesn't know how to deal with certain situations.
Dang, that's good.
Once I did that in the coaching world, I started to sub as an ends to a mean. I can't be at home doing nothing. So I started to sub, and once I got into the classroom, whoo, man, the Lord talked to me. I'm telling you. I tried to go the PE route. I really did.
I tried to do that too.
I tried to go that PE
route.
They
said it was too many. There wasn't no space.
Man, that's a lifer position. And what that means is once you're in it, you're not getting out of it.
Nah.
Unless you retire.
No chance.
And a lot of, there was, in the district that I worked for, there was no openings. And I wanted to be in this district. Like, this is the district I grew up in, so I was familiar with the culture. So I couldn't get in. And I talked to my AP and I was telling her, hey, you know, I got this PE certification. She was like, oh, that's what's up. But if you want to market yourself better, position yourself to be great. I said, oh, to be great? Okay.
Yeah.
She said, hey, go back and get this, get these certifications. I said, oh, okay. So I went back and I got those. And I kid you not, I think as soon as I finished those, phone started ringing. I said, wow.
Yeah.
I was in Nigeria at the time, so I didn't collect all those calls, but his timing is timing. That's all I know. So when I was able to return a few of those phone calls, they offered me a position, and I am where I am.
And I think that's one of the things that I learned about, well, one, about black males in the field, because this is, teaching typically is more so than not a female-dominated field, especially if we exclude coaches, we exclude PE, in which a lot of the times the coaches might also teach like a social studies or, you know, like, well, I know there was a coach that I had that also taught English, mm-hmm. but typically it's not academic vigor.
It depends on where you're going, the levels at which you go to. But yeah, I see the point you're trying to make.
Yeah. But the point I was making, just full circle, is like for you and for other like African Americans, like this is teaching is a position, one that you can make a heavy impact.
You really can, yes,
because
sir.
Because it's, I know you can even attest to the fact that there are a lot of students who, despite whatever district you're in, they might not be getting raised by dad, might have never met granddad. Like there are other students who don't even have male figures in their lives, but now you being this teacher, you're that figure that people begin to cling to. And because I know I tried to do the PE route,
mm-hmm.
and then I failed the alternative certification. I was like, oh, this wasn't God's plan for my life. but I missed it by like 2 points, but then I also didn't study.
That PE thing is...
Well, man, I didn't study for the test, though.
Mm-hmm.
And then I almost mm-hmm. made it. And they're like, well, you should come back. And I was like, nope, this isn't God's plan for mm-hmm. me. Sorry. So,
but look
I'm
at you now. You're still reaching them wherever you go, though. So,
yeah. No, don't get it twisted. I'm not tripping, but I don't know if you remember. So, me and Buzo worked together for this nonprofit.
I remember. Yeah.
And I think, was that your first introduction into the classroom?
That really was.
Because that was mine also. So, yes. we first of all, if y'all aren't watching on YouTube, if you're listening to the podcast, that's cool. But go to my YouTube channel, subscribe at Jonathan J Speaks, and you can see us. We're here in Buzo's crib. We're doing this episode. I ain't going to go too deep into it because I don't know. The feds might be listening. But yeah, we're currently in Buzo's spot out here in Houston. I'm not going to get no addresses. So working for this nonprofit, and if those of you know anything about nonprofits, is overworked, underpaid. And we were doing all of these jobs. We were doing the admin work, then halfway through the day, then we'd go and then we'd go into a classroom. We'd facilitate after school programs and summer reading programs. And then we'd go back and do some more work. But it was to the point we're doing a summer reading program with these kids. And I don't know what we expected, but these kids were off the chain. And it got point to where, like, we wanted to tell them shut up. We wanted to tell them sit down. We wanted to tell them stop. But then we found a dodgeball somewhere. And it wasn't the squishy ones that they started putting in the schools because people were hitting kids in the head with the bouncy one. But it was the bouncy one, like the OG dodgeball. So then it was like, okay, well, y'all want to keep talking. And Buzo cocked back, and then he just started pegging these kids. And then we just in the class.
I promise no kids were hurt in the making of that scene and incident. They were all good, I promise.
Yeah, they loved it.
They did enjoy it. What I learned from that experience is that I took my background of athletics and I took it into the classroom, which my district also does a really good job of teaching in PDs. Because kids need to move. When we were back in school, it was sit down, shut up, you know, learn it from the teacher. It was real teacher-based, but the district that I'm in now, as well as just schools in general, we're now so focusing on the kids. A lot of us like to move. Think about this as an adult. You're at your desk or wherever it is that you may work. You're asked to sit in one place for long periods of time.
Yeah.
Think about what you do with your body. Do you move your hands? Do you move your feet? Do you swing your feet? Do you have to stand up? Now take that perspective and put it into an 8-year-old, a 9-year-old, a 10-year-old. Mm-hmm. Kids who have nothing but energy. I can attest to this energy. Nothing but energy. Yeah. They don't tire out. They can just go all day, and you're asking them to take that energy and just stay in one place. So in those incidents, what they were enjoying was they still learned. Oh, trust us, they still had me and John to teach them. They still learned, but they did it in an environment that was fun. So what they were learning, but they weren't understanding that they were learning. Still, even though they were having fun, it was a really good experience. It was good times. I actually took those experiences. I do have a dodgeball in the classroom.
No.
I have two of them, just in case. And what it is, though, I use it as a building activity because a lot of times what we haven't learned and what I learned this year is, as well as a few previous years, is that if kids crawl at a certain age or they're late crawlers, it's linked to how they read. And things like that. Yeah, okay.
That's
what I said. So what I do is I have the dodgeballs not to throw at the kids, but as we answer questions, we'll go back and forth. So I'll throw the ball at them, they'll catch it, they'll tell me their answer, and they'll throw it back to me. This keeps them engaged because now all of them want to be able to catch this ball. Now all of them want to be able to be like, oh man, Mr. E, you throw me the ball. First off, don't call me Mr. E, my name is Mr. Ilanu. But, you know, we go back and forth like that. But those are my babies.
Man, I don't know what the research is, but it says if you tell something to somebody, then I think they retain like 10% of the information. Then they say if you tell somebody something and they write it down, it's like 20%. But then if they're engaged, I'm not sure what the percentage is.
Me either, but I can tell you firsthand that they are more willing.
Higher.
Yes, yeah. For sure. We had a whole lesson the other day, and I read it to them at first. I asked them to recite it back to me. Man, what? Now, you know, you'll have a few kids who can do it like that. Mm-hmm. But when we acted it out, That's when they all were able to be like, oh, well, you remember how you did this and that? I actually tied a string to a yardstick. And one of the things we were learning about was a group of Native Americans who like to fish. So I tied the string to the thing, and I put it on the floor. And I told one of my students to just lay down. And when the string hits him or touches him, you know, he becomes a fish. Man, almost lost my class that day because they just went crazy. He became a fish. I said, oh, got you now? And we, man,
ooh,
my
you
man.
Gotta be faster.
Yeah, I said, oh, man, okay, oh, guys, relax. I promise you, they were able to tell me the name of that Native American group. They were able to tell me why the student was a fish, what that Native American does with the fish and things of that nature. I was like, wow. So it's those types of things that they really take away from it. They were, and by lost, I don't mean in a negative sense. I almost lost them. Like, they became very excited. So, you know, we had to calm it down so that we can get back to learning. But that was one of the many experiences that we've had.
Yeah, and I mean, like, seeing you talk about teaching. Oh, actually, I have some extra supplies in my car. I was meaning to give to you.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, seeing you in this, like, in this field, and even, like, I was on your computer earlier, and I saw all the tabs you had open, and then you had, like, the Pinterest open on, like, on one sheeters, you're looking at this, talking about matter, like, seeing the level that you've immersed yourself, because I don't, even though I know you love the game of basketball, but I think that, I would go as far as to say, I don't know, but the way teaching, I've seen you immerse yourself in this like I've never seen you immerse yourself in anything. And I've seen you, you know, from women to college to party, like whatever.
Oh, man. Whatever it might be. I know what you're saying.
But looking at where you are now and...
I kid you not. Every time I think, I love this life. I love... And I'm speaking on the teaching life and just life in general. There's so many good things in this life, and teaching for me is really one of the big ones. I can't talk about it without smiling. And if this is a recruitment video, it isn't. But hey, we need more male teachers, more teachers in general. But please understand that yes, I'm having an amazing time teaching. It's not everybody's cup of tea. I love it. I really genuinely really enjoy what I'm doing as a teacher, but there are, you know, drawbacks. I'm not gonna sit here and tell you it's all roses and butterflies. It's not, but the overall aspect of it, for sure. You gotta if you can manage your schedule the right way, you can do certain things, and teaching will for sure be enjoyable. But like I said, it's not for everybody, but if this strikes a chord with you, then for sure become a teacher. For sure, for sure, for sure.
So are you now teach? What grade do you teach now?
Third grade.
Okay, so what do you see happening now? Do you see yourself moving up to middle school, high school?
That's a great question. It's a question that I have asked myself multiple times. I don't know yet. I know you've been asking me this, and I do want to get back into coaching.
Okay.
I really would. Right now, I don't feel the calling. So I haven't taken the necessary steps.
That's
but if I could do that, that'd be really good. I really want to be good at this in the classroom before I add something on like coaching onto my plate. So I want to be able to say that I'm giving all my all, and now my systems are in place so I can take on coaching. I don't want my babies to struggle and then I'm over here coaching and now their struggle is getting worse because my attention is on my other students in coaching or vice versa.
Yeah.
I don't want one thing to suffer because of the other. So that's why I'm holding off on coaching right now. Mm-hmm. But the classroom is, hey man, there's some good things happening in there. It really is.
Okay. Man, okay, so we talked about you teaching, talked about the passion. Man, talk with us a little bit about just the let's talk about the idea of, I guess we'll go teamwork and camaraderie.
Okay.
And I want to talk about that because, or no, let's talk support system.
Okay.
And I want to talk support system because you said earlier that you have you have some siblings and your family was there. So how many siblings do you have? Like, talk a little bit about
your family. It's four of us. It's four siblings, five of us total. My mom and my dad are both from Nigeria. That's why I call myself Nigerian American. I was indeed born in the United States in Houston. But the reason I call myself, I identify as a Nigerian first is because the blood running through me is the blood from both parents who are both Nigerian, and the culture that I grew up in was the Nigerian household. But their support has been tremendous. My brother, if I need anything, and I try not to tell him too much because my brother's the type where he's an extremely supportive individual, especially when it comes to financially. I do believe, me personally, and this is not saying, you know, I'm not willing to take, or I don't have an understanding on how to receive, and sometimes I don't, but I try not to tell too many people or too many things to him because he'll go above and beyond. If I say, hey man, my classroom is, man, we need a couple pencils, my man will go out and get like 100 pencils, 100 pencil boxes, 20 things inside each. I'm like, dang, okay. Oh, man, he wasn't joking. So, you know, financially he's there. Emotionally, they're all there for me. If I have any issues, I bring it to them because their viewpoints are similar to mine, but they have their own perspective onto it. So if I were to ask them, you know, how do I go about this? Or what do you think about this? And, you know, they'll give it to me. And there's four of them, so there's no shortage of advice.
Oh, wow.
Followed by my mom and my dad. It's crazy because growing up as an African, as a Nigerian, your parents, it's not that they don't show you love, but hugs and things like that didn't come often. Now that we're older, we understand mortality. So, you know, we're more open towards hugs and saying I love you and things like that. We gave out hugs when we were younger, but it wasn't an everyday thing. Like now when I leave their house, you know, it's a hug. Hey, how you doing? Or it's a kiss on the cheek or whatever the case may be. So that support system, I think, is vital. Everybody doesn't have both parents. Everybody doesn't have siblings. But I was blessed with both parents and my siblings. So that support system, I really do take it to heart. My sisters are also very supportive, both financially as well as emotionally. So I really like to take this time out to, you know, shout out my brother, Chinamelo, and my three sisters, Adora, Adeza, and Akuna, followed by Mommy and Daddy. Yes, I'm a grown man who calls his parents Mommy and Daddy.
Now I want you to talk a little bit more about the culture.
Okay.
Because you are Nigerian, but from what I understand, just in regards to Nigerian culture, there are a plethora of tribes. And
a few of them.
So talk a little bit more about that.
My family are we're Igbos. Then you have the Yorubas, which is another major one, as well as the Hausa. The three of them are here. They're mixed about, but for the most part, you'll run into Igbos and Yorubas. They will say, you know, one is better than the other, but that's like a friendly rivalry. For the most part, it can be. Well, it can get, for us, for me, first generation Nigerians, it's considered a friendly rivalry. I have a few Nigerian friends who are also Yoruba as well as other things. And we get along pretty well. Now, back home, there might be some things here and there, but for the most part, it's pretty cool. I took John to a couple of Nigerian functions, and he knows how we get down. But for the most part, we're party.
Auntie,
everybody's auntie, everybody's uncle.
Yeah,
but the culture is if you don't have your own culture, if you don't know much about your own culture, I implore you to find out about it. Culture is a huge thing when it comes to finding out who you are and finding out where you stand on certain things. So I do believe that my culture helped shape my perspective as well. And I don't have any regrets when it comes to that. In the beginning, it's weird because, you know, African booty scratcher. So I was like, man, what? I'm not African. But with a name like Chibuzo. I couldn't really deny it. But it's crazy because once I hit middle school and high school, and I was surrounded by other Nigerians and Africans, man, it was crazy because this was before everybody wanted to, everybody embraced being African, where it was okay and cool to be African.
Yeah.
But once that, once we got into that, once we found each other in high school and middle school, man, it was amazing.
Okay, so you talked a little bit about, you talked about the culture. I want you to talk a little bit about the food, and then I want to also ask you just about where you were brought up, because I know Southwest Ailey, Texas. But talk about the food, because I know the first time that I was introduced to the food, I think it was the first time when you brought me to your house.
Yeah.
And your parents, I mean, just showed love. Your parents, your family, y'all just accepted me and just brought me in. And then I started fixing the plate, and I was trying to be modest. And your mom was like, "What are you doing? You're so skinny."
My man came through and took, I think, a scoop of jollof and a scoop. Keep in mind, this man's what, 6'4", 6'5"?
What's jollof for the people who may or may not know?
Jollof is, it's rice. It's essentially rice. I guess, and I don't mean any disrespect by this, but it's, you know, it's the equivalent of dirty rice for those who are from Louisiana or wherever the origination of dirty rice is. It's the equivalent of Mexican rice for those who are from that culture. It's the equivalent of fried rice from those who are in that culture.
Oh,
so
okay.
It's Nigerian rice. Now, you will hear a few other Africans say that, you know, their jollof is the best jollof. Please don't listen to that. The best jollof is Nigerian jollof. Any Ghanaians that are potentially listening to this, at me, bro. don't really at me.
If you're watching on YouTube or if you think you have the best jollof rice, put it down in the comments. Let's talk.
I don't want no wahala. Look, man, it is what it is. Everybody has their viewpoints on who's the best. But that's jollof, funny. Right? But my man really did try to take one scoop. And in a Nigerian household, it doesn't matter what you do unless you get big. You're always skinny. Always. Granted, I do have an athletic build. That's what I would like to call it. So I can eat, though. I can put away some food. Not as much as I used to anymore, but I could put away some food. But John came into the house, and the first time you come in, you're a guest. You're treated as such, you know. Anytime after that, I don't care if it's all in the same visit. I think John came in on Friday, so he was a guest on Friday. You know, we took care of him. We served him, whatever the case may be. We went out somewhere, and I think we came back in the afternoon. I think John was expecting us to serve him again. Nah, that's not how it works. You're now family, so you got to get your own food, as well as wash your own dishes. But that's a different story for a different day. But when he went to get it, he was trying to be modest. And I looked at him, but my mom got to him first. And she was like, "What is this? Like, you're not hungry?" And they find it disrespectful when you don't put real food on the plate. So he learned quickly, but you know, he went back and he did his thing. But for the food, and I can't speak on anybody else, but we can eat. The food is one of the biggest pluses to being Nigerian, for sure. There's many different types of people who do their jollof differently. Then we got, you know, dodo or plantain, as we call it. It's not specific to just Nigerians, but oh man, if you've never had some, please by all means try that. We got a lot of different dishes.
But and one thing that I really appreciated was that stew, because it was your dad's stew. Because when I went in the refrigerator, because I was helping myself, and I went in the refrigerator, and I was like, what is this?
So my dad doesn't eat meat, so by him saying my dad's stew, he's saying it was fish. Now my mom seasons my dad's a little differently, but yeah, it all hits. It don't make a difference. Rice and stew is one of our big deals. It relates to earlier when I was talking about there's rice. There's always rice and stew. You go to any Nigerian household, there's always rice and stew. Hence the reason why we don't get to go to McDonald's or Whataburger or Burger King, because there's rice. That's what that means. There's rice and stew. You're hungry? Eat rice and stew. My mom sees me snacking, go on, eat rice. There's rice and stew. Regardless of where you look, except for in my fridge, because I ate all my rice and stew. There's always rice and stew. Always. Always. Okay. Oh, matter of fact, I think I got some stew frozen. Dang.
I don't know.
We'll come back to that. Yeah.
That's on you. Okay, but there. Okay, so there also we're going to talk about the SWAT in a second. But I also want to just let you know. I don't know if you realize this, but I talked earlier about how you helped me come to a place of gratefulness. Mm-hmm. But then even the place in the space where I began to see just the love of your family, mm-hmm. and just to see how much y'all honored and respected each other by one, when our coach was giving us stuff, like he was giving us stuff to take. He was like, okay, shirts, you know, whatever. He would give us one. Any of you who ever been a student athlete or part of like a student organization, they give you certain stuff for you to have for that time period, like for that basketball season,
yeah.
or for that semester or whatever it might be. And then I remember seeing you get extra stuff to take back to your family. But another thing that I feel that I was able really to see the love and the camaraderie and the respect was when you moved in with me.
Yeah.
Like when we moved in together, and then just seeing, man, I don't even know. Cause I was telling Gabby the other day that I don't know if you remember when my air went out in my car. So me and Boozer used to drive all around the DFW. Doing all these crazy runs for no reason, just doing different stuff, okay? Moving around, getting different places, going wherever we was going, hitting whatever club we was hitting, whatever. It was whatever, you know?
Past tense.
You know, we used to, whatever. But then there was a point where I'm driving my car, and then my air went out, because I had a 1997 Chevy Eldorado, and I used to call it the Batmobile.
Hey, we was in there.
I was really excited about it.
It was nice.
But the problem was something always happened. One time the water went out. We had to pour our water in it. We had to stay with a gallon of water in the back of the trunk. And then there was another time that air went out. And I don't know what the price was. Like, it was something. It was expensive, like $300, whatever the price was. And then there was a point in the time to where Boozo was like, how much was it? And then you gave me the money. I don't know if you remember that. You gave me the money. And so I'm talking about gratefulness, but I'm bringing this because you really introduced me, and I would have to say you showed me what real friendship looks like.
If I eat, we all eat B. We all eat B.
but honestly, real talk, because I've been in relationships with people, and I've had friendships with people, and these are the type of people, because in high school, I would have people ride with me all the time, and they riding in the Jeep everywhere. I'm going, taking them places and doing things for them. And there was nothing that was ever reciprocated. Mm. But you were the first person to really show me like what it looks like for somebody to give this. And I'm not giving you this because what you're going to do for me because I gave you this. Mm-hmm. But I'm just giving you this just because no strings attached, just here.
I mean, well, the way I look at it is... there are some amazing people in life. There really are some amazing people in life. And one of those people who happens to be in my life was you. So this small setback for you, I wasn't going to let it get you down. It was, don't get me wrong, man, $300 is some change.
That was
I didn't even remember. I didn't even remember that. But I remember giving it to you, but I don't remember, you know, the amount, because I was giving it to you because it was what we needed at the time. You know what I mean? It was something that was gonna stress you, and I didn't need you to be stressed. Like, you were building. I don't know if you noticed, but you've always been building. I know we were talking about it earlier, but I told you, you're probably one of the most underappreciated people on that team just at that time. So, you know, the person who taught me selflessness was my brother Chinamelo. And man, I kid you not, when I used to get those shirts and all that stuff, like I said earlier, if I eat, we eat. He used to, to this day, he's still this way. He used to, and all of my siblings, I think we all picked it up from him. He used to just give us, he'll give us the shirt off his back. Be like, yo, man, this is yours. I'd be like, man, that's a nice shirt. For real, you like this? I said, oh, I liked it. I didn't know. Oh, okay, thank you. And I mean, without thinking of it, he would just do it out of the kindness of his heart. I was like, wow.
Dang.
Really? This, just like you were saying, he didn't want nothing in return. I was like, nothing? I said, okay. Wow. That really struck with me. Like I said, there's many people who are in this world who are just amazing. Everybody deserves happiness. Everybody deserves everything that's coming to them. Gratefulness and all that good stuff, as well as greatness and all that other. So for in that moment, like, it is what it is. I didn't think anything of it when I did it. I felt like it was the right thing to do, especially for somebody like you. You know, that's just what you do when in times of need. That's not all the time. Please and thank you. If I had it, I kid you not. Sometimes I wake up and I dream to myself. I wake up and I say to myself, man, if I could win the lottery, the first thing I would do is give it away. Nice. But the crazy thing is, in order to do that, you got to have a plan in place on how to give it away so that it's given away equally and that you can't reach everybody, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So the people that you can reach, if it's possible and feasible, I'll do it. At a drop of a dime, it don't make no difference.
Fair enough. Well, as we're winding this down, we're going to do the rapid fire. I'm going to bring that back. No. First, I want you to talk a little bit about SWAT. So SWAT, I mean, Southwest, they leave Texas.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's been around because, you know, SWAT birthed you all, the Ilanu family.
Yeah.
The Ilanu legacy. but even outside of that, the SWAT has been more so coming to the surface as of late, I would say.
We have a lot of amazing talent, and it's crazy because some of them I know personally.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them I know through my brother Chen, man. And some of them I'm seeing as whenever I get on social media and things of that nature. But there's some greatness in A-Leaf for sure. Those in the classrooms with me now, see what I did there, and those are the ones that I grew up with. A-Leaf is amazing. It really is. Now, yeah, we have our rough parts, but who doesn't?
Yeah.
I've met some amazing people from here, and we're everywhere.
Yeah, it's crazy. That's what I began to realize.
We're everywhere. You go anywhere. Anybody from Houston recognizes Southwest A-Leaf Texas. And if you see somebody from Houston, a lot of times they'll, not all the time, but they'll know or they will have been in A-Leaf or grew up in A-Leaf or whatever the case may be. But we're in a lot of places. I'm glad to have had the opportunity to grow up here.
Hmm. Really? Yeah. Okay. So I'm just going to put this here. So those of you who are on social media, you can follow Boozo on Instagram. He don't post nothing, but he interacts on Instagram. He'll post no pictures, but he likes pictures and he comments.
Yeah, I do.
Your Instagram is Boozo Ilanu?
That sounds about right.
I believe it's Boozo Ilanu on Instagram. I think so. If not, we'll get in the show notes. And you're on Twitter. I'm also on Twitter.
I think it's the same thing.
We're going to have it down in the show notes.
It's something. Like you said, though, I don't post on either platforms per se, but I do love to retweet inspirational things, and I love to share videos and things of that nature. For sure.
Cool. So now we're going
to
I
know John has a really good following. I do have an Amazon, what do they call that? An Amazon wish list for my classroom. I'll give that information to John. Greatness is trying to be bred.
Mm-hmm.
So if you guys can help us out, that'd be greatly appreciated.
Yeah, and I'm going to go on record and say this because I told Boozo, we talked about it already. But, I mean, he, like, every once in a while, he tells me that he's proud of me and what I'm doing. But at the same time, what I always say is that I believe that there's even a greater impact than what I'm doing, what other speakers doing, because we all are where we are as a result mm-hmm. of a favorite teacher somewhere. Mm-hmm. And knowing that, I know I can look back and think of, you know, some of my favorite professors, Dr. Ardis Thornton, Dr. Jana Flowers, Miss Pickett.
Yeah,
Ms. Pickett, and these are professors that we were able to sit down and glean from them while we were at Richland, which is a junior college. But it's even more about before people get there, because so many students don't even make it there
because they
don't even have the opportunity to where they can connect with a teacher that is able to make experience real in the classroom, just mm-hmm. like Boozo was mm-hmm. saying. So I gave Boozo, because Boozo's brother shared the link for his wish list during the summer, or I'm not sure when it was.
And he came through.
And then I know his brother donated on some stuff. And then I gave a seed to Boozo and also got some supplies that Gabby sent to Boozo. So we have to understand that like the best things that we all personally want, we put the money in and we buy it for ourselves. But understanding that these students that he's teaching in his classroom could be the next president, could be the next governor, could be the next whatever, school superintendent.
Okay.
But if we never take the time to invest in these students' lives, then we can't complain and call them the problem and say what they're not doing because of whatever. We have to
talk to them.
No, I mean, you got to, though.
Talk to them.
Because people always say, okay, because, you know, the generation before us say millennials are this problem. But it's like, but you're our parents. And then it's like, okay, well, if we want to make sure that Gen Z or Gen X, the next generation behind us, we want to make sure that they're properly equipped, then we have to invest in them. We have to teach them things. You said before, students don't know how to handle their emotions because they've never been taught. In our generation now, we didn't know how to deal with like the mental rigor and mental health, but now we're coming into a level of awareness that we see that either our parents didn't tell us about or that our parents never dealt with. And then by way of generational curse or even by genetics, these things were passed down.
Mm-hmm.
And then now we're in a place to where we have to deal with these things. But if we never come to the awareness and we're never taught of these things, then how can we? Nah, but really though.
No, but real talk.
But yeah, if we never come to the, because we realize, okay, well, I'm upset. How do I deal with this? We can Google it. We can watch YouTube videos. We can go out and listen to a podcast and say, okay, well, I need to go talk to a therapist and then get that level of help. So then these students, they don't know what they're dealing with because the parents that they have taught them with the resources that they knew and what they had. So therefore, they're going to either produce another version of themselves until somebody enlightens them. We got to enlighten the babies.
Okay, my guy.
Yeah, man.
I see.
So I'm gonna put the wish list.
Oh, man, appreciate that.
I'm gonna put the link for Boozo wish list in the show notes also. And if you would like to contribute, I definitely encourage you to do so because Boozo is really in the classroom. Boozo's in the classroom, and also one of our fellow friends, our sister Mercedes Anderson's in the class. I'm gonna end up getting her on the podcast. Me and her are gonna sit down and talk also because she is an artist like none other. She. You know, Mercedes is different.
Oh,
she's a loyal listener on the podcast too.
She really
rocks.
Is.
She rocks with the podcast.
And if you don't feel comfortable with me donating to me, find another teacher. I promise you, there's teachers out there and right. They have programs called Donors Choose that that also help with teachers' supplies in the classroom and things of that nature. So it's don't think that everything John said was amazing. He hit the nail on the head. But it's okay not to do it with me. Find another classroom that you can do it with. Twitter is full of teachers who need your support, followed by Instagram and whatever other social medias are out there. I'm not 100% sure how this works, but I know for sure that those resources will be appreciated wherever they were to go to.
And I'm definitely saying that because we were in a space where when we were in that classroom, we really didn't have no supply. We didn't even know, we didn't have adequate training to teach them students. And I've also been a part of summer programs and I taught I ran an after school program and we didn't have adequate resources. And end result was, I mean, we had babies. I had like 30 pre-K kids and I'm reading a book and I'm trying to create some type of curriculum based on whatever. But it was just the fact that we didn't have the funding that we needed because it was a nonprofit and we were trying to cut corners and different things like that. So the moral of the story of this tangent here is find a teacher somewhere. Let them know that you are. If you don't have nothing to give them, just give them a hug and let them know, thank you for what you do because you're investing in my child in a way that I might not even be able to. Because I done seen some of the math formulas here recently and I don't even know what they're doing currently because it's like they're doing the formulas in a different way. I don't know.
Yeah, we switched it up. Things are a little different
than
when we were in school, if you remember math and things like that. But that's a different topic. That's a different conversation for a different day because I can go on a tangent on that. Oh, man, it's some good stuff. It's some good stuff being taught, man. I will say that. My district for sure has shown us a couple things. Oh, man, math is... Ooh,
man,
I can talk to you about some.
Yeah, we're not even about to talk about it. We're about to do the rapid fire.
All right.
We're about to go into the rapid fire. And this is a segment I like to call This or that? And it's plain and simple. I just say Buzo Coke or Pepsi, and you say
neither. No, I'm joking. I'll say Coke.
You say, I said Coke. Okay. So, are you ready for the rapid fire? We're
yes,
gonna
sir.
Bring it back. I haven't done this in a minute because I know you're listening. I ain't.
Oh man, I know.
Okay. Coke or Sprite?
Sprite.
Okay. Pancakes or French toast?
French toast.
Popeyes or Chick-fil-A?
Popeyes.
Really?
Really.
Have you tried the sandwich?
From Popeyes, I have not. Not yet.
You take Popeyes over Chick-fil-A?
Wait, I mean, it depends. You asking me about the food or the
service?
What's that? Chick-fil-A service all day, but the food for sure, Popeyes.
Okay. Books or movies?
Books.
What's your books favorite? Sure. What's a book that you read recently? Like that you felt
recently?
Really
The Energy Bus.
John Gordon?
Yeah.
Did I give you that one?
No. So we're actually reading that in school, like as a school-wide project. Oh, my gosh.
You don't remember I gave you one of them John Gordon books?
Yes. Oh, no.
I don't remember which one I gave you, but I gave you another one because I had the box set.
Yeah.
I met him.
Dang, for real?
I met him. We took a picture because he was speaking at a men's conference where Inky Johnson was speaking. You know, that's my favorite speaker. But Inky was speaking there and John Gordon speaking there. I brought my book. And I had him sign it.
Oh, that's what's up. No. That energy bus is real, though. Like, I think that applies to just
the energy
life
bus, because that's the guy driving the bus, right?
The girl, the lady, the woman,
I didn't
Joy.
I didn't read that one.
But George is the guy who, he, like, man, you talking about perspectives. George's perspective is pretty narrow. And then he meets Joy. And Joy, which is funny, she has nothing but joy. Like, her perspective on life is that everything is great, depending on how you look at it. So he got, and I'm just going to give you a quick snippet because I know you're trying to keep the time down. George suffered a flat tire, I think, on his way to work.
The crazy thing
is he took his car into the shop. No, he went back into the house. He was like, yo, wife, can you, he didn't say it like that, but he was like, hey, can you, take me to work? I'm going to be late. She was like, I got errands to run.
Yeah.
Take the bus.
Yeah.
And he was like, man, what? So he tried to put himself over the errands. He was like, but, I got to go to work. I got to be able to provide for this, that, and the other. She was like, but I have errands. If you want to wait for me, that's cool, but I got to take the kids to the school, this, that, and the other, and this, that, and the other. My man's was heated. In the process of him doing that, his daughter came up to him and tried to play with him and stuff like that. He was like, sweetheart, like, relax. And I think the dog ended up doing something. So in that moment, frustration built, and he let it out on him. And the daughter was like, she was taken aback. And I was like, oh, man, this is crazy. So then when that happened, he took the bus. And in him doing so, he met Joy. And she was like, hey, man, this, that, and the other. She hit him with she didn't hit him with too much. But she hit him with like, hey, man, your perspective is this, that, and the other. Like, if you want to be great, then this is how to do it. But he was so close. He was like, why is this lady talking to me? Like, just drive
the
bus.
Bad day. Yeah, just drive the bus.
Just drive the bus.
Yeah.
And it turns out that his car, when it went to the shop, if he would have been in that car, he could have potentially died because there was a recall on it and something like that. So, and I think on the bus, she was telling him everything happens for a reason. So your car needing to be in the shop and you being on my bus happened for a reason. Like, but he didn't, bro. His mind was so close.
Talk to us.
He didn't see that he could have potentially died if he drove that car. He didn't recognize that. And she opened his eyes up. She was like, so you mean to tell me that if you would have gotten in that car, I can't remember exactly the situation, but long story short, something would have failed and he wouldn't have had control of the car. He could have easily lost his life. And it hit me because death isn't something that when you're younger, you don't take it seriously per se. We believe we're immortal. And I witnessed the situation in Puerto Rico. There was a gentleman who, we went to a waterfall, and there was a gentleman who was at the top and he jumped off, whole head open.
Wow.
My man passed on the scene right then and there. I was like, oh my God. It went from family fun to tragedy. Like that. So when I'm reading that book, anytime we speak on death, it's crazy. God forbid, if I were to pass, it's not me who's hurt. It's my siblings. It's my parents who have to deal with that. So when I was reading that, I was like, man, why is he not picking up on this? Like, why is he not seeing that his daughter would have been affected? His wife would have been affected. Mm. He has a son as well. Would have been like everything. But once he did, like, and as the book progresses, you'll see that he starts to open up. And like, as he opens up and he starts to see the positive things and he starts to, wait for it, see the joy within everything else, his life starts to take a change. Like, his marriage was in it was, things were, oh, man, that's a good book.
Dang.
The Energy Bus, man, it's crazy. I'm very excited that our APs and principal put us on that book. Oh, man, I'm having a good time reading it.
Man, I'm gonna put that link down the show notes. That's one thing. That's one thing I'm really working on now also, because I used to be in the space of, like, because you know, mm-hmm. because you being a teacher, I don't know if you've gone through this mm-hmm. Or not, because I know you're more so forthgiving. But sometimes in a certain area, like, you come upon a resource and you're like, well, no, I want to use this just for me. Mm-hmm. And you're like, no, I want to use this, present this so people see this is what I did. Mm-hmm. But now I'm getting to a space to where I'm like, well, I should be sharing more stuff with more people so that people can have the information.
And that, you're right. I'm like that. I would like to just, if I can give it all away, I'd give it away. But, and I'm not trying to be a cynic, okay? Mm-hmm. But everything can't be given away. You showed me this, that some people who have businesses, that's their livelihood. Yeah. So if I'm in the supermarket, if I own a supermarket, I can't allow everybody to come in here and take everything.
Most definitely.
You know what I mean? Like, now I'm not able to provide for my family.
Is it true?
But you will do what's best. Like, certain things, it just depends on situations, in my opinion.
That's real.
It really does. And it's not to say that people don't want to help other people, but life comes at you fast. So for things that, and I got to process it. I'm one of those people who overthinks everything. But for the most part, if it's something that I know, if I allow others to use it, or if I allow others to see it and take it however they see fit, I don't want the credit for nothing. Like, don't give me the credit. If you can build greatness from me giving you this pencil, build greatness. Yes, I would have loved to have a pencil, but you're going to be great with this pencil. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to stop you from being great. But if it's going to hurt me, then I'll snap the pencil in half so now you can be great and I can be great. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. So it's not that, you know,
that's fair.
I don't want to hold all the resources to myself. I just want to make sure that both of us are able to take what we need from it, if that makes sense.
No, that makes sense. That's a good point. Okay, last question.
Last yeah, we question. Can go, hey, man, we, you but, know, we can be here all night.
Apple or Android?
Android, all day, every day.
Why is that? I asked that because I knew you were going to say that. But
oh, for sure. Please don't get me wrong. We've had some good times.
Oh, we had an iPhone.
I started
we had the
off
first
with the
iPhone.
First and the second one. And I think you
We'll go here. It's still recording.
Oh, okay. I think you had the third one.
Yeah, I stayed with it, and then I switched over.
And then you switched to, we had the Palm Trios.
Yeah, and then I switched back.
Yeah,
God,
good times,
man. I still can't believe I lost that trio in the club, that red trio. I wanted that trio so bad.
My man was hot.
Oh, my God.
My man was hot. He was hot.
He was hot.
But if you know anything about the trio was where it was at that time. But, yeah, Android because... I'm able to do certain things that I haven't been able to do with Apple. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not one of those fans that says, hey, man, Android over everything. No, I've mixed my devices. You know, my biggest platform is Google. I'm a hands-down believer in Google. And Google is a business which understands that there is a rivalry between Android and Apple. But they don't do that thing where they try to pit one against the other. They're on both devices.
Google's genius.
Yeah. So like they're not trying to tell you, hey, do this or do that. They're gonna give you their resources on both. Mm-hmm. But for me, I like Android because I'm allowed to do certain things such as Google integration, which is, in my opinion, once again, my opinion, they're able to do home integration a little better than Apple. I'm not saying Apple won't be able to catch up, but they will.
Okay.
I'm allowed to do music, and the way my classroom is set up, music has to be played. I know there's Spotify, things of that nature. I promise I do. But with me, I can download it from there, and then if I want to use it, use it. When I used to be on mixtapes, good times, Android allowed me to do that. I know that Apple has a couple apps that you can go from there and things of that nature. And for the most part, the price point, man, I can find, if I break this phone tomorrow, I can go get another phone without flipping my lid.
That's true.
So, and don't get me wrong, Apple does amazing things. Like, if anybody asks me about which phone they should get, I'll ask them, you know, their preference. What do you want for your camera? What do you want for storage space and things like that? What are you looking to do? Because I know iMessage is a huge thing. And a lot of people don't like, a lot of people don't use WhatsApp. But if you're Nigerian, you have family everywhere. So WhatsApp is probably one of the best services to use. And you can use it on Apple or Android. It doesn't make a difference. But for me personally, I like Android because of those things amongst a couple others. But I could be here all day telling you about this.
That's good.
Android over Apple.
I mean, but one thing I have seen with you having those phones is, man, I mean, I thought the Apple camera, I thought the iPhone camera was pretty good.
No, that thing is...
But then when you came around here with your camera, I was like, wait a minute.
I mean,
it's a different level. Like,
but you know what's good? And I try to put this in the classroom too. Competition isn't bad. So what it is Apple has been really good at cameras, and Samsung stepped their game up because of that. Google stepped their game up because of that, because Google makes a phone called the Pixel.
Yeah.
Huawei for sure stepped their game up. Now there are other brands.
They're from what I've heard, they're doing that company.
Even though a lot of people don't even know who that is. It's not a household name per se in the field of cellular devices, telecommunicational devices, whatever you want to call it. But they're doing some things, you know. People such as myself know about them and things like that. LG, hey man, it is what it is. Now, please, if you're looking into Android devices, don't believe that all Android devices are the same, all right? The ones that are really... So what's happening in the smartphone world is that good phones are becoming cheap, and cheap phones are becoming good. I guess it's the same thing. But you got to be really careful. Some of these phones, make sure you read up on them, because Android right now is on... we call it Android 10. A lot of these phones that are cheap are going to run like Android 8 or Android 7.
Oh, slow processing.
And yeah, so I know, and that ruins the experience for a lot of people who are on Android. So, you know, a lot of times we'll get a bad rep, and then, you know, you'll go to Apple, and Apple is, once you're in that ecosystem, like, they just flow.
That is true.
Apple controls everything Apple. Android is controlled by the carriers in a sense. So that means that the carriers are the ones who push the updates. And if they don't want to push the update, then look, that's not their business. They're not going to push the update. But that's a different story for a different day. I ain't trying to get too technical with you guys. But that's why I enjoy Android. For sure.
Well, before we get out of here, I want you to show the people that you have on this.
So I'm not sure, I saw this and I had to go get this. You were the first person to get the order.
You got the two, and then I had some other orders come in after that, but you were the first one to hop on the wave.
I had to, man. To get
the Speaker Success hoodie.
You see me?
So
is that the reflective hoodie?
So we got those on the website, but man, before we get out here, you got a final thought, final quote that you want to leave with the people? I'm going to have all your information down in the show notes. Going to have your wish list down in the show notes. And then also even a link for the energy bus, man, because you got me excited. You brought it back because I remember, I did read that book,
man.
And I remember that story. And that is a good, because he also wrote the No Complaining Rule.
That's the book you gave me. That's where it started, man.
And as I was writing my book, I was going to entitle it the No Complain Campaign, even though I created that in 2014.
Yeah.
I was going to title my book that, and then my dad gave me that book. He was like, look at this book, No Complaining Rule. And I was like, oh, wow. But even though even though I might take a step back, I might write, I might use that for a book. I don't know.
So I read that and then, you know, 14, surprisingly.
Yeah.
That was, I thought you were going to ask me what my favorite book is. I got to reread that one. That one was really good. I thought you did a really good job. Sorry, I feel like product placement. Go get that book.
Well, now, but, I got it for, I don't know if you've seen now, but I'm giving it to people for free. They just got to pay for the shipping and handling.
Yeah, the shipping and handling is worth it. I'm telling you, that's
on my website at the top.
That is a really good book. Like, legit. I mean, I know this is my brother, and you know, you probably will be like, man, he has to say that. I don't have to say anything. But that's a good book. It really is. And you know, I got siblings, so we could have easily shared one copy, but I had them go out and cop that book too. That book is a really good book. Well, yeah, I really enjoy that, man. But that was the movement. You got to bring that movement back, man. Because I'm telling you, it. If you open your eyes to your blessings, this is one of the strategies from the Energy Bus. Wherever you walk to, if you walk from your front door to your car, or if you walk from your, if you have upstairs, if you walk from upstairs to your car, or wherever small distances that you may walk, just count your blessings. And it doesn't matter how small they are. Your day, if you do that, your day will begin exponentially better. It's crazy because we don't recognize the little things. I bought a new house, and that's one of my blessings. God is good. So whenever I walk to the car, or rarely whenever I'm walking anywhere, I just count my blessings, you know, and that raises your mood. I've run late. I don't know if it's a genetic thing, but being Nigerian, I'm late to a few things. Like, I don't know if that's just who I am or whatever the case may be, but running late a few times, you know, my mornings can start off hectic. So in that time frame, instead of allowing that lateness or that tardiness to diminish the rest of the day, I start counting my blessings. Before you know it, I'm like, okay, yes, I'm late, but that's a small part of the day. I can take this. Bottle it up, take it, do better next time. But the rest of my day is going to be great. I can't allow this one thing to stop greatness for the rest of the day. And that was one of the tricks from the Energy Bus, as well as something like that you wrote about. Get the book. Both of them, Energy Bus and my man's book, man. I'm telling you, man. That shipping and handling, that's nothing compared to the knowledge you're going to get from that, from reading his book, for sure.
I appreciate
sure.
that, man.
No worries, yeah, man. I appreciate
it. You got a final thought to leave with the people, or a quote or something?
I do, actually. I saw this on Twitter, but it's not verbatim. But the way it goes is, and it's going back to teaching, because I'm telling you, I love this. This is what I love. And it says that if we give everybody a tree, and we're all animals, all right? So they use animals. They say, you tell a monkey to climb a tree, that monkey will excel because that's what it does.
Talk to us, teach us.
You tell an elephant to climb that same tree, that elephant may not be able to climb that tree because that's not what elephants do. And then they went on to list a few other animals that won't be as great as climbing the tree as that monkey. And what I'm trying to say is that a lot of times when you think of kids, we want them to do this. We want them to be able to reach this goal here. But we tell them, oh man, in order to get to this goal, you have to take a ladder. You have to do it this way. That shouldn't be the way. We shouldn't limit their creativity. Give them a goal. Show them multiple ways on how to reach that goal. Mm. Because everybody's not going to do it the same.
Yeah.
That monkey can climb that tree because that's how it wants to do it. An elephant might be able to get to the top of that tree by ripping the tree out and then walking to the other end of it. Mm. So don't stop their greatness. By all means, give them multiple avenues. John hit on this point. Our parents raised us because of how they were raised. So with this information and with the world that we have at our fingertips, especially with mobile devices and things like that, I don't think that we should stifle our kids. I think what we should do is provide them with avenues to be great. Some of them will grow faster than others. Some of them, it'll take a little bit of time, but give them that time. Patience is key, as well as the understanding that they can be great, but their path to greatness may differ from ours. As long as, you know, they understand the ways of the world and certain things, because if we get any deeper into it, you look, certain things, if you're certain colors and things like that, you know, you got to move a little differently. But for the most part, don't stifle their growth. Greatness will happen on their terms when they're ready.
In its truest form, a teacher teaching.
Man, look.
I love this, man. That's good, man.
I love it. I really do. I appreciate you for having me, man.
Thank you, this is a good interview.
Good times.
We're gonna get out of here because I think I'm about to go to sleep because I actually feel I feel a little bit sleepy. this is TEDx speaking best-selling author Jonathan Jones here with the Chibuzo Elanu, the teacher of the year.
We're gonna put that in the prayer. Okay, we'll take that.
Changing lives daily, man. So we're gonna go ahead and get out of here, but always reminding you to speak your success, believe in your greatness, and continue to create the life and business of your dreams. Why would you want to live any other way?